All right. Hey, guys. How is everybody? Y'all doing good? Good Thanksgiving? All right. What about you guys at the sites? Did y'all have a good Thanksgiving? Good. I wanted to say hi to all of you who are watching in Mid Rivers and Grants Trail and Fenton and just all over the place. There's people all over the country who are tuning in right now online. So welcome here in the hub. So we're just all here together and we're going to have a good time. Has everybody got their turkey out of their system? Because we got to get after it today. Some of you shook your head, so wake up. Here we go. No, we're just glad you're here. Last weekend, at the very end of the service, we put a question out on our app just to see if anybody was paying attention, and a whole bunch of you responded. And actually, the question was, it went like this. What is one thing you want more of this Christmas? That was the question we asked. Whole bunch of you gave answers, and I want to share some of those with you now because some of them were profound, some of them were interesting. Just say that. Some people said they wanted more mild weather. Other people said snow, so you guys are working against each other on that one. Some people said helping others, gratitude, love, money. You're just putting that one out there, money. More of the Christmas spirit, more hope, more patience. More generosity, more communion with the Father, more sleep. There was a few of you who said that. I got to. There was like a food theme in some of these, so like cookies and pie and tacos. That's like a new seasonal thing. Deviled eggs. Somebody really likes deviled eggs and wants more of those this Christmas. Let's see what else. More joy, more happiness, my daughter home for the holidays, a deeper relationship with my spouse, positive attitudes, kindness, pants, more pants, more music, more connection, more laughter, our prodigal child to return to the Lord, a job, less debt, less chaos, forgiveness. There's just some really great answers. And then maybe my favorite, more cowbell. So I hear you. But can I tell you, like, the most popular answers, what most of you said, there were three answers that just kept getting repeated over and over and over again. They were these three things: time with family, and peace. Now, those resonate with all of us, don't they? I mean, when we look at this season and we look at what Christmas is supposed to be, we think, man, that's what I want. I want time to rest. I want time to myself. I want to be in relationships. I want to experience this peace. Isn't it funny how every year this season rolls around, and if we don't pay attention, like, we get caught up in the craziness of it all, and pretty soon it's all over and we've missed it. And instead of feeling more peaceful, we feel more distracted, more hurried, more busy, more alone. Well, what we're going to do is begin a conversation that starts today. It's going to go for the next few weeks about how we can avoid that this Christmas, of how we can make sure that we pay attention to what God is doing around us. In fact, this conversation will take us all the way up to our Christmas services. It is going to be one of those deals where if you haven't been a part of this conversation before, I'll be bold and say I think it can change the way you do Christmas. For those of you that love it when we have real practical messages where you can, like, take home and just put stuff into practice right away, get out your pens and paper and write all this stuff down, because this movement that we call Advent Conspiracy really can change things for us. See, I believe that Christmas changed the world, and I believe that it can change the world again. See, if we really live this out, if we slow down and we pay attention to what we're going to be talking about throughout this conversation, if we begin to reflect the story of Jesus being born into the world in the way that we live, well, then it doesn't just change us. It goes out from us, and it can change other people. In some cases, people we don't even know. So there's this verse in Romans chapter 12. We looked at Romans 12 a few weeks ago, and we just are going to come back to it now, this really profound chapter in Paul's letter to the Romans. But I want us to look at the first two verses of this chapter this morning. And actually, we'll look at the second one first. But look at what he says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For me, that's it. This is what Advent Conspiracy does, is it allows me to not conform any longer to the way the world does Christmas, but to allow this story to transform who I am from the inside out. And then it moves out into my friends and my family. It affects my church. But ultimately, it even affects people who I may never meet on the other side of the planet. See, the truth is, we always say this, but it's true. Christmas begins and ends with Jesus. And that truth is transformational. So, I can't wait for us to talk about all of this. I can't wait to see where all of it leads us, but we're gonna have a little bit of fun today. In fact, this is gonna be a conversation. It's gonna be a little bit different. You're gonna hear from a few different voices, not just mine, who are gonna help you understand what all of this is. Now, one of those voices you're already familiar with is our pastor, Greg. I wanted him to be able to share some of this story with you. And so, Greg, you're gonna come join me up here in a minute. In fact, would you just come on up and maybe open us in prayer?
Sure. Okay, let's do this. Let's pray. So when you say, though, peace, time, and time with others. So yep. It's about relationship, it's about slowing down, and it's about peace.
That's right.
So I would just say this. It's the first time we've had a chance to gather since something happened in our community, and I'm going to ask us to pray for people who had a holiday that they didn't expect to have because of a horrific tragedy that happened at a Catholic supply store. So I would ask you to pray for those families. I'd ask you to pray for those communities of faith that today are trying to find a way to worship in the midst of that. I would ask you to pray for those on the West Coast whose lives have just been changed and ravaged by wildfires. Of course, those things are happening in each of our lives as well, moments where we are asking for peace. So let's do that. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to pray and I'm going to hope and I'm going to expect with a kind of defiance because I believe that God is still up to something in this world. And I think we get to lock arms and together we get to be people who push back darkness. If you believe that song we just sang, that he is the light of the world who steps down into darkness, then let's live that way. Let's celebrate that. So would you gather with me in prayer, whether you're here or all these places that, I mean, it's amazing to me. They were pinging me while you were talking, and it's every place from Saudi Arabia to Canada to Hawaii. It's just wherever you are, just thank you, and let's gather now in prayer. Father, we come before you and we do confess, at least I do, that I need you. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. God, I will never know, but that is the story of Christmas and you came to rescue me and I don't ever want to forget that. I don't ever want to be over that. I pray now for people who are walking through things that they never expected to be walking through, that you would move in close, God, that you would put others around them that can speak of your peace and speak of your hope. God, may you now do something in our midst and in our community that we could never have anticipated on our own. But for those of us who are parts of communities of faith in this city, I pray that we will lock arms and together we will push back on evil and darkness for your glory and for your name's sake. And I'm asking now that you would anoint Tim and everyone who's speaking, just help us, lead us through something. God, we want to do this for your sake and we want this December to be rich and full and different. I ask this now in the name of Jesus, Messiah, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Greg. So as we're grabbing a seat, the truth is this Advent conspiracy movement started around 12 years ago, mm-hmm. and you were a part of that initial conversation that kind of kicked
this thing
off. I think
this is the first
time
I've ever been interviewed on this stage, by the way.
Is it really?
Maybe.
I was asking about that earlier. Yeah. It's the first time. So maybe. You guys are witnessing this moment here.
Yeah, it's a Tim Bounds exclusive.
It is. That's right.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. No, it's fun. So, like I said, the movement's about like 12 years old. What was I even talking about?
I don't know.
I don't either. Advent conspiracy.
Yeah.
It's changed Christmas for my family. Like, this is a really personal thing. And I don't know about everybody else. This may just be for me, but I love hearing stories about how things like this get kicked off and how it all kind of came to be. And you're a part of that story. So will you, like, it was you and a couple of pastor friends of yours that were having a conversation. So will you tell us that?
Right. So first of all, when you trace something back, you're going, so now when did we do that? And when did that idea, you know, we remember some of these things, but Chris C. is a friend of mine in Houston. He's been here before, pastor at Ecclesia. Mm-hmm. Rick McKinley's a friend up in Portland, pastor of Imago Dei. And so the three of us just began to talk about Christmas and celebrating Christmas. And I do remember one of those conversations. We were in the Bahamas suffering for Jesus. I remember that.
like you do.
We were planning for the kingdom. We'd been invited to this thing, and who doesn't go to something in the Bahamas when you're invited? But I remember us standing like in waist-deep water talking about Christmas, which is an odd thing. But we're standing there, and it's just like, do you ever get to the end of the season and feel like it's not that you... I feel like I missed the fullness of it. It's not that we, in anybody, nobody said that we hated Christmas. I mean, but it's, do you ever just get to the end and go, oh, shoot, I think I might have missed something there. I wanted more worship. I wanted more of this, and I felt like I got distracted by some things. And we started to wonder if our churches felt that way.
Yeah.
And that was really the beginning of it. We went back into the narrative. That's really where we went, mm-hmm. was into the narrative. What does it mean to worship? What does it mean to see these revolutionary passages? God's calling us to something.
Yeah.
How do we change the world again? That was it.
That was it. And so you guys all went back to your home churches and said to your teams and everything, we're going to try to do something a little bit differently
right.
this Christmas.
Right.
And that was part of that was the four tenets and all of that. And then there was something with, at least with us at the Crossing, there was something with our Christmas Eve services that we were going to do something.
Yeah, actually, we all agreed that at Christmas we would, because that last tenet is love all, and you guys will hear about that, but we would take the entirety of our Christmas offering. The board of directors agreed to this. The senior staff agreed to this. We would take the entire offering and make sure that it left the building, that it served the least of these, as Jesus says in Matthew 25.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, to this day, pastors question me on that and say, you're crazy. Mm. Now, let me give you a little inside baseball. Pastors will sometimes look at that year-end offering as the one that closes the gap for budget giving each year. Because it's year-end, it's IRS-related, you know, don't make me connect the dots on this, but there are some people that will wait and give at the end of the year. And so that happens, and we celebrate that. But what we said was, if you don't designate otherwise, it's going to leave the building. It's not going to help us catch up on anything. And God has blessed that. God's honored that.
And so what we did was we took that, and at least so for years as a church, what we've done is taken that offering from Christmas Eve, and for us, we've put that money towards the water crisis
right.
in the world.
Right.
And I know that, I just found this out over this week of us kind of preparing for this, that there was a conversation that happened a couple days after Christmas where you and Rick and Chris kind of got back on the phone together and said, how'd that go?
Right. We gave our teams enough time to count up the offerings. Mm-hmm. And so I remember going downstairs in our basement and calling these guys, and it was a conference call, and we just shared with each other, how did it turn out? Did it really take at your church? Are we onto something or not? And we shared the amounts that our churches together had, and it was already in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hmm. And there was just like silence. This is a conference call with three pastors. You never hear silence when three pastors are on the phone
never.
Together. But there was a silence, and it was like, I wonder what God is doing. I wonder if he's up to something. So we celebrated that, but we felt a responsibility then to say, okay, how can we be good stewards with this?
Yeah, and you said, so it was your three churches and then a couple other that joined you that first year. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, when you say be good stewards of that, it was like, okay, let's see if other churches want to get in on this with us, and we could invite people to be a part of this. This could be a thing.
Yeah.
And that's where the website and some resources that we all began to create started to come out of this.
Yeah, now let me just say this. Those resources and that website, of course, you know this, none of that happens for free. Those three churches, this being one of them, were the ones that funded all of that and continue to fund all of that. So let me speak to the skeptics in the room, because I know you're here, and welcome. I'm glad you're here. But some of you are going, oh, so this is another angle for them. This is a way for them to make money. This is a way they can sell a book. If you want to be really blunt about it, we lose money on this. Now, we don't lose money. We're investing in ministry. But we don't pick up money on this thing. We're the ones who are paying for this stuff so that other churches around the world can have it. And it's all open sourced.
Yeah.
You can have this beautiful artwork. We give you that to use in your programs or bulletins or PowerPoints or whatever you do. We give you some ideas for sermons. We give you the videos, the small group stuff. It's all free. We just want people to use it. And this church gets to help serve thousands of churches. So it's pretty cool.
It's awesome. In that first couple of years, as those resources started to come out, this thing really did gain traction, and a bunch of other churches started to get involved.
Yeah, there was a video that was a big deal. And I know you guys are going to talk about some of these later, but this one really did go viral, and it caught on, and there were college groups and churches and individuals and families in the thousands around the world that started to do this, and they would come up with their really cool names, like in France and Switzerland, it was called Les Rebelles de Noël, and so, cool. Which is way cooler than Advent Conspiracy, but it essentially means the same thing.
Yeah.
And so that started to happen.
And that's when, now that there are, like you just said, thousands of churches and families that are all playing a part in this, it started to, like, people started to pay attention to it. So, like, Zondervan, which is a Christian publishing company, got in touch with you guys and said, will you maybe put this into a book form so that you can tell the story of AC?
Yep.
And so you did a book. We did a launch here at the church to kind of launch that book. That was in 2008. And then that's when, so now, like, the news is starting to pick up on this thing, and that's when it gets interesting, because you got the news media, there was maybe some misunderstanding in a couple of places about what this movement was. And
yeah, so part of it is, we said Advent Conspiracy. That's still a struggle for some of you, and we know that, but we're trying to get people's attention. Advent, you know, Advent is simply a word that means the coming of, the arrival of. So Advent season is when we celebrate the arrival of Jesus. So there's that. Conspiracy is where people kind of reacted. And we're not conspiring against Christmas. We're conspiring against anything that would rob us of a full experience of Christmas. That's what we're asking people to conspire with. And yeah, there were some folks that didn't quite get it at first. So Rick took the Time Magazine article, and I took all of the national TV interviews. That was how we just kind of divvied things up, which meant that I got the CNN and the Fox News and all of those things where they're asking, you know, like, okay, so what is this and how does this work? Because it really was kind of, you know, millions of people were talking about this.
Right.
And there was distinctly an a live interview with somebody, you know, camera right there on me, and it was, he was questioning my patriotism. Which I wasn't really expecting. I figured that a lot of things would happen. I didn't think anybody was going to question my patriotism over this. Now, if you go back in that time frame, remember, we were in the middle of what we call an economic downturn, okay? You can frame it however you want it, but people were struggling. What this guy was saying is, well, isn't it un-American to encourage people to save their money when what we should be doing is spend our way out of this recession? And so I had to kind of give him a little economics lesson that says, well, listen, I'm patriotic. I love this country. I'm grateful. But I don't think spending money we don't even have helps anybody anywhere. That may be part of how we get in trouble. Mm. So let's not go further into debt in the name of Jesus. That's not what he's asking us to do.
Right.
So that was it. It turned out fine.
That was that.
Yeah.
And then there was this talk. There were some talk shows.
There are lots of talk shows. There was one you might know of. It's still on today, where there's a table and there are... the hosts sit around the table and they talk about things. I don't know. And they give you their views of things around this table. And so there was someone who sits on this side over here, still to this day, sits right over here. I'm not going to give you her name, but it rhymes with Schmoopy. And so she really didn't like what she heard about this. She had seen the video or part of the video. And again, she never really got the whole point. She railed on us for a little bit. But it was just really more of, oh, we're not against this. We're not Scrooges. We're not going to be bah humbuggy about this.
Yeah.
I really think we get to experience more of Christmas. We get to celebrate more. It's more, not less.
Yeah.
But we're going to call some things out.
Right. But by connecting to this story, we get to experience more. And so one of the things we've said throughout this is what you were just saying. This isn't about anger or guilt
or disgust.
Or anything like that. This is a chance for us to enter into the story of Jesus more deeply, and we get a chance to worship him more fully.
Absolutely.
So when we get to a place where we say no to some of the ways that Christmas is celebrated, it enables us then to say yes to a different way of celebrating.
Absolutely. It's a fuller, richer yes. It just is. And it's better. It's just better. We give gifts. We experience this peace and relationship that you were talking about, but we are going to call some things out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so it's been good.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like you're getting ready to wrap me up. So I just want to say one thing.
Well,
so
go ahead.
Well, it's his rodeo. I'm just asking, but I just want to say this to you, and I've said it to the other three services as a church. And for those of you joining us online, thank you. If you were a part of this thing back in the beginning, thank you. If you're a part of it now, thank you. Because one of the really cool joys of my life is traveling around the country and around the world, helping ministries and churches who know about you in ways you probably don't realize. Like what you do here, they know about. But when they find out that you're one of the three churches that started Advent Conspiracy, people just tell me stories. Well, you don't know how this has changed the way we do this and how our church is doing this. I just want you to know you have led thousands of churches and untold numbers of Christ followers into a different way to celebrate Christmas over the years. And I think it's going to be one of the great joys of your eternity when God begins to just connect the dots of how your faithfulness has trickled out really literally around the world. So I just wanted to say thank you to everyone at each of the sites and here. It's very cool to be able to do this with a church like this.
Yeah. So I'm not going to wrap you up completely. I've got another question for you. Maybe we'll get to.
Yeah,
but
right.
But the other thing is and I are going to...
Sorry.
Well, I was just going to remind, I was going to let them know you and I are going to keep this conversation
going,
right? In a few days. So this Thursday night, November 29th at 6:30 p.m., we're going to do a live podcast together on Facebook Live and on YouTube Live. Our channel's there. You can go. You can actually participate and ask Greg some questions, and we'll keep this conversation going. Now, if you don't get a chance to tune in on the live version, then we'll publish it as a podcast after we've got it all ready to go, and that's on our At the Crossing podcast. So real quick, if you don't know how to find that podcast, let me just tell you, on your iPhones, you can go to the podcast app and search for At the Crossing. That's the name of the podcast, okay? And then also on the Google Play Store, I think it's exactly the same kind of deal, but At the Crossing is the name, so you can search for that later. So we'll get to keep talking about this, but thank you. Yeah, I'm going to invite Ben and Lisa. Why don't you guys come up here and get comfortable? And while you are coming up here, let me just tell you these four tenets of this movement that have been so important to us over the years. We've formed this whole thing around these four ideas. Worship fully. We're going to make Jesus the center of this season for us. We are going to worship him in ways that we'll talk about in a few minutes, but we want to be reminded that it is this story that changes everything and it draws us to worship him. So we worship fully. Secondly, we spend less. So the idea here is to just cut back on our spending. It's not to not buy any gifts. It's not to go all Scroogey on it or anything like that. It's just simply to cut back. Don't spend money that we don't have. Don't go into overwhelming amounts of debt. Just stay within our means. And then secondly, give more. This is the third tenet. Give more relationally. Give more meaningfully. Be thoughtful about the gifts that you're coming up with. Give of your time where you actually get to invest in the relationships with the people that you're doing life with. And then the last one is love all. So with the money that we save, maybe we held back when we were spending less on gifts, we're going to now take that money and invest it in ways where we get to love people who we may not even know who have needs all over this world. So for us as a church, that's been partnering with Living Water International and helping them with the water crisis. We love them. We love what they're doing. But it doesn't have to be that for you. Loving all really simply means looking at what's going on in your world and saying, now with this money that I've saved, is there a way that I can invest and see God continue to do his thing in my community, around the world, all of that kind of stuff. So those are kind of the four tenets of this. And Ben, we're going to talk about this here in a minute, but it all flows out from this idea of worshiping fully. And I want to hear more about that in a second. But first, let me introduce you guys. And Ben Horseman, you're an associate pastor here, and you are one of those guys that just helps us with theological stuff. You help us unpack scripture. You oversee our quarter life and our college ministry, right? And then Lisa, correct, you're our communications director here. So whenever you get an email from The Crossing or whenever we do announcements on the weekend or communicate any information to you, that usually goes through her so that you all are current, you know what's going on, and we're not, you know, just sending email needlessly and all of that kind of stuff, right? Yep. But before we go further into this first tenet, those four ideas, they go back now 12 years, and we just heard the story of how they've kind of spread around the globe. But Lisa, that didn't stop at any point. It's still, the word is still getting out, right?
Right. We're getting emails all the time from churches around the globe who are saying, this is our first year doing Advent Conspiracy. We're so excited. Mm. So that's really cool.
That's very cool.
We heard recently from a church in Brazil who said, hey, is it okay if we translate some of these materials into Portuguese so that other churches that we know can benefit from that?
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's awesome.
So I love that. That church, though, heard about Advent Conspiracy from a church planter that was from Montreal.
Wow. So you guys see those, like how those dots are continuing to connect. So we got somebody in Brazil who's going to put it in Portuguese for us, but they heard it from somebody in Canada, and the story is just still going out. And the reason we think that's so important is because we just want to invite people to continue to worship this way, to be drawn to who Jesus is and what he's doing, and to be able to worship him fully this season, and maybe begin to reflect that story again in the world. But Ben, it really does start with this idea of worshiping fully. Absolutely. So help us with that. Maybe just we should start with the question, what is worship anyway?
Yeah. So at its most basic level, worship is giving God the worth that he deserves. It involves taking our time, our resources, our talents, and we're using those things to bring God glory. Now, sometimes I think we think that worship is what we do in here or in the rooms at all of our sites, and we come together and we have these amazing worship leaders and awesome musicians, and we sing songs and we think that's worship. And that's true. That's worship. That's a part of it. But when you read the New Testament, what you see is that our entire lives should be worship. There's this great verse in 1 Corinthians where Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So what this means is, it's less about our participation in a worship service, even though that's important, and more about our commitment to living worship-filled lives. Yeah. And when you take a step back and you look at some of the teachings of Scripture, when you even think about how we live our lives today, it becomes clear that we can use those same talents, those same resources for other things. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can begin to worship those things. We all worship something.
So you're saying all of these different things that we do in our lives, when we invest our time, our resources, whatever we do, that can be worship. But you're also saying that sometimes we can find ourselves worshiping something that's not God.
Yeah. It goes back to this idea that started with Blaise Pascal, that we all have this God-shaped hole or void in our lives. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to fill it with something. God created us to worship. And Paul talks about this in Romans. In chapter 1, he talks about men and women who rejected worshiping God, and they decided to worship created things. Now, we would call those things idols. And that's essentially what idolatry is. It's rejecting the worship of God and exchanging that worship and worshiping other things.
Hmm. So the Advent Conspiracy book, it actually talks about this in the chapter on worship fully. And one of the things it says is our hearts are formed by what we worship.
Yeah.
And so as this season rolls around for us, one of the things that can happen is as we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of shopping and gift giving and all of that kind of stuff, not only do we start giving our time to this, but we start devoting our resources to it. And before we know it, without even paying attention, it's almost like we're worshiping something else. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, again, disclaimer, we're not trying to be Scrooge and bah humbug about this and all of that. We're just saying we're all about gift giving. But let's do it in a way that's meaningful. It goes back to that Romans 12 verse. How can we do this in a way where we don't conform to the way the world celebrates Christmas, but instead we do this in a way that's transformational, where we don't spend beyond our means, we don't conform to the cultural pressures and the reckless consumerism.
We have to resist the idols that are in our world today. And what's interesting, when you read the Christmas story, there are idols in that story too. So Jesus, he was born under the shadow of the empire, which meant he was a first century peasant living in first century Palestine. And people in Palestine, they knew all too well who the one true Lord was. It was Caesar Augustus. So you would either worship the emperor or you face the consequences. You either bent the knee or you died. And not to mention, there are all these different local deities, too, that different cities worship. So the Roman Empire, it was about as pluralistic and polytheistic a place as you could get. But that's why the gospel accounts are so fascinating. There's that amazing story in Luke's gospel where there's a bunch of shepherds just hanging out, doing their thing, because, you know, they're shepherds. They're watching sheep.
Yep.
And suddenly an angel appears, and he says something really cool. He says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the peoples. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And then later, a bunch of other angels show up, and they all proclaim together, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." What's interesting is we see this same language on Roman coins and Roman documents in the first century. So what's the angel saying? Well, part of it, I think, is he's saying that Jesus, not Caesar, is the Prince of Peace. He's the Savior of the world. Jesus, this little baby lying in a manger, he's the world's one true Lord.
Yeah.
His life, not the life of Caesar Augustus, is good news for all people. So that angel's declaration, it's absolutely announcing the birth of Jesus, but it's also pushing against emperor worship. It's pushing against one of the most prominent forms of idolatry in the first century. And he's saying Jesus is the only one worthy of worship. And that was so countercultural back then, but that was the story that those shepherds found themselves in. And that's the story into which Jesus is calling all of us.
So he's calling us into this idea of where we're kind of rebelling against the empire a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like the shepherds were in those days. So can we give them like a really kind of a kind of an interesting way that we can kind of push against that a little bit in our culture today? We were talking about this video early on 12 years ago that went viral. It's like, if you go look on YouTube today, there's like 1.5 million views of that original Advent conspiracy video. And we have a new one. We've got an updated one that we showed here these last couple of weekends. And Lisa, there's a specific way that you would ask us to kind of go and find this video, right?
Yeah, if a whole bunch of us went and Googled Advent conspiracy and found that new video, it's called the 2018 Explainer video, clicked on that and watched it all the way through, that would make a huge impact, because what that would do is it would tell Google's algorithms that this is a really popular video that other people might be interested in, and hopefully it'll rank higher in search results.
Right.
And we love that, because if this video goes viral, that doesn't just make us feel good about ourselves. It really helps other churches hear this message and other people's lives be changed through these tenets.
That's it. The goal is here isn't for us to like, hey, everybody, look at our cool video. The idea is when you see this and you start to hear the message of Jesus and of Advent conspiracy, we're inviting you to be a part of this thing, right?
Yeah.
So you guys know, like, I know that's kind of odd instructions, but you know how this works with Google, right? Like, have you guys noticed that Google and Facebook are paying very close attention to what you're doing on the internet? I mean, like, as soon as you start shopping for something, that ad pops up on every page, doesn't it? So what we're saying is when you do this, when you go into Google and search for Advent conspiracy, then we're kind of messing with their algorithms a little bit. And now maybe the word gets out a little bit more. You know what that is? That's us being able to declare to the world, Caesar is not God. Jesus is God. Google is not God. Jesus is God. Come join us. Come be a part of this thing. I love that, because when we start to push against the culture in those kinds of ways, not to be mean or to be negative about it or anything like that, but just to try to put this story out there, it's one of the ways, Ben, that we get to connect our story today to the story of the shepherds and Joseph and Mary and all of the characters we see in the Christmas story.
Shepherds, Joseph, Mary, Magi. There's so much that we could say. We could spend entire weekends talking about each of those people. But for now, I'll just give you one thought that kind of unifies them together.
Yeah.
Faithfulness. Every single one of those people responded to God in a faithful way. Mm-hmm. You had Joseph, who took Mary as his wife, even though shame was going to follow them around for the rest of their days. You had Mary, upon hearing of this miraculous conception, she wasn't worried about the gossip. She wasn't worried about what people were going to say about her. She simply said, I'm your Lord, God, I'm your servant. Do what you want.
Yeah.
You have the shepherds who immediately left their posts to go and be with Jesus. You have the Magi who protected Jesus from Herod, and then they went and showered him with gifts. So all of these people, at great sacrifice to themselves, they did what God called them to do. They didn't let anything get in the way of worshiping him.
Yeah, so you're saying, Ben, that all of those acts of faithfulness on their part were a part of their worship in this. And it goes back to that 1 Corinthians verse you gave us a minute ago. All of these things can be worship. And so, Lisa, I want to spend a couple of minutes talking about some of the things that we're doing strategically as a church to try to help people worship, to help them move into this in this season, right? It, one thing is for them to come here on the weekends where we're going to sing and pray and open scripture together as we always do. So that's part of it.
Yeah, we're going to teach on each of these tenets, continue to teach on each of these tenets, and they're all life-changing, but you really need to do them all together. So keep showing up and keep learning, and we'll keep applying this to our lives.
That's right. And as we're doing that, we're gathering together on the weekends, in between, we want to keep the conversation going.
Yeah, we actually have groups that are kicking off this week studying this new book, using some video resources that we created that people around the world, we talked about those other churches that are all over the globe who are doing this, they are using these resources too. So we thought, you know, let's do this as a church.
So we're sharing this with everybody so that other churches and other places in the world can be a part of this. But honestly, we want to do this together. And so we've got these groups that are going to be forming here at the Crossing.
Right. We flew people in from around the country to film these here in St. Louis. Can we show a clip?
Yeah, we have like a promo video for the group videos. Watch this.
Welcome to the Advent Conspiracy. The love that Jesus is trying to share with us is for us to live with a little less.
We fill our lives and our souls with all kinds of clutter.
Yes, it's okay to give presents, TS, but how do we give presents, CE, to one another?
One of the biggest things for my family has been, it's spend less, but listen more.
When we truly have experienced the love of God, there's a mandate on our lives that we are supposed to somehow then reflect and reciprocate that love to people who are around us.
So this just whole process has gotten me thinking and challenging me to step out of my comfort zone and be uncomfortable and invite a different group of people in.
When you truly give the way Jesus gives, it changes the heart. And not only does it draw us closer to one another, it draws us closer to our Savior. And that's the beauty of this whole revolution.
Yeah, so we are asking you to be a part of this revolution, and part of that is by jumping into a group and unpacking all of this stuff. So Lisa, if they want to sign up for a group, what's the way to do that?
Yeah, if you go to thecrossing.church/groups, you can see all the ones that are kicking off this week. Okay. The other way to do this, though, is to just grab a group of friends and do this together. You don't have to go to the website and sign up. If you have a couple people you want to do this with, those videos are free on adventconspiracy.org, so do that as well.
So we always say, well, you don't need our permission to gather together with some friends and unpack scripture together. And so the videos, the book, the series that we're doing on the weekends, all of it ties together. All of it will flow really well. Take those resources and use them, and let's have a conversation about all of this. So that's one of the ways that we're inviting all of us to engage more into this story. But then there's another one. It's a kind of a one-time event thing that's really, really cool that I'm excited about at our Grants Trail campus.
Yeah, when we talk about giving more of ourselves, which we'll touch on in a few weeks here too, one of the ideas that caught traction really early on in this movement was the idea of hand-making gifts for family and friends, which is so cool. Unless you're someone like me who's not, or Ben, who's not crafty
not
at all. So we thought, wouldn't it be cool to bring in a bunch of local artists who are really good at this and let them sell their goods, and we can purchase them and gift to family and friends.
Yeah, so we're calling this the Artisan Market at Grants Trail. It's on December 7th, which is a Friday night, from 6 to 9 p.m. Come be a part of this. It is going to be such a cool, just a really neat evening. It'll be very Christmassy, right? And then all these vendors will be there. I have a list of the vendors, but honestly, there's so many of them. You need to know we had to turn vendors away because we ran out of room for people who wanted to be a part of this. It's not just folks from our church. It's vendors from other churches, vendors from around the city of St. Louis, and all of them are all in on this. They're selling leather goods and jewelry and painting and paintings, photography, toys for kids, like bathroom soaps and that sort of thing, like all kinds of stuff. And the coolest thing is all of them are going to participate in Advent Conspiracy themselves.
Yeah, each vendor is contributing a portion of their proceeds to Oasis International, which is one of our partners in St. Louis here that supports refugee families here locally.
So when you come, you can get some of your Christmas shopping done. You can love all, even in the way that you just participate in this. There'll be, we were talking about like wood-fired pizzas and quesadillas, like food will be there.
Food and live meals. Music and activities for kids. It'll be a Christmas event not to miss.
There you go. So you're bringing your family and I'm bringing mine. And you plus, for those of our campuses, if you've never visited our beautiful Grants Trail campus, this is a chance to go check that out and be grateful for what God is doing there. So we really want you to be a part of this. That December 7th, mark your calendar, come out and do this with us. It's another way that we really honestly get to worship in a really cool way together this season. Some of these things over time could become like a new Christmas tradition for us. you know, where you start to say, okay, each year I'm looking forward to opening up this book and unpacking this and worshiping differently. And in fact, when you leave today at all of our campuses, we've got these little cards we'll give you on the way out that are supposed to be like conversation starters for you and your family. There's a couple questions on there and some information, and it's just a way for you to look at each other, at your friends, whoever you came with, and say, all right, what are we gonna do? How are we gonna engage in this thing and really worship? Because Ben, it comes back to what you were talking about earlier. Again, is this idea that we can worship in a bunch of different ways this season. Really, it comes back to Romans 12. So if we can kind of look at that verse again, only let's look at the first verse that we skipped earlier. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Ben, that's a rich, profound verse. There's so much to that. So help us through it.
Yeah. So I love that verse for a couple of reasons. It combats the idolatry that has its way of sneaking into our lives from time to time, but it also puts the focus back on worshiping Jesus. We started this whole conversation talking about the idols in the first century world, and they may look different, but we have idols today, and especially at Christmas. And if you bow to those idols, it's going to lead to some bad stuff. I mean, think about the stress, think about the debt, think about the empty bank accounts, the anxiety that you feel to please every single person. How about this one? It's a busy time. So you might find yourself going back and forth from the mall at some point over the next couple weeks, which is crazy. Like, I hate the mall, just so we're clear. That just fighting for the parking spot, it's not fun at all. So when you're in the thick of it, you might find yourself, how do I put this, using some not safe for church sign language, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's not good. And that stuff happens because we've bought into the lie that first and foremost, we are consumers.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, we're going to take everything that makes Christmas meaningful. The time to slow down, time spent with loved ones, eating really good food, the family traditions that you talked about, the peace and the joy that we feel around this time of year, maybe even our sanity. And we place all of those things on top of the altar of consumerism. Mm-hmm. But Paul, in this verse, he gives us a better way to live. See, the hope of this verse is that first and foremost, we're not consumers. First and foremost, we are worshipers. And going back to our definition, God wants our entire lives to be worship. That's what this verse says. That word that we translate bodies in the Greek, it's the word somata. And it has this idea of giving your entire selves, your entire being to God and laying that down at the altar. So what it does, it kind of pushes against this compartmentalized understanding of worship that we might buy into, where worship's just singing songs inside of a building. Like, that wouldn't make any sense for people in the first century. There was no such thing as a compartmentalized sacrifice. Yeah. Like, you didn't just go to the priest and say, hey, you know what, you can sacrifice the leg, like, you take that, and I'll take the rest home. Like, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
So part of taking this verse seriously is understanding that it's not just about singing songs in this building or praying or listening to messages in here.
Yeah, now it is that,
yeah,
right?
That's a
really important part of our worship. In fact, what I think you're saying is when we gather together, we sing, we open up God's word and explore it together so that we can then carry that worship out into the rest of our week.
Well, in fact, that's what it means to be the church. Like the Greek word for church, ekklesia, it has this connotation of being called out. So if we're the church, we are the ones that God has called out to go into the world. So the worship that we do in here, which is amazing, I hope you guys come back in the weeks to come. But the worship that we do in here is good insofar as it equips and fuels us to worship outside of these walls. We leave the church building to go and be the church in the world.
Yeah, and now that gets us to what we're going to be talking about for these next few weeks, is this idea of spending less and giving more and loving all and kind of the rest of the Advent conspiracy idea, right?
Yeah.
So all of that's great. You guys have anything that I left out or anything else we ought to talk about?
Well, I have something.
Okay.
Since you asked, Paul makes it clear that this is urgent. Like, this is something we have to do. That first verb that he uses in the Greek, it's a parakalo. And it uh, It's not some sheepish request. It's not like Paul saying, all right, guys, well, you know what? If you have time, like maybe think about doing this. Like maybe, just maybe do it. No, it's a command. Like Paul's saying, if you truly understand what Jesus did, you have to do this. That if we truly understand the faithfulness of God, if we truly understand the grace that God has shown us in Christ, it's going to change the way we live.
Yeah, yeah. So we got to get after it.
Yeah, yeah.
We got to do this together.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you all go, but what I would say to the rest of you guys, and thank you, is just let's do this. Let's do this together. Let's live generously. Let's be really wise stewards with the resources that God's entrusted to us, and let's figure out a way to take those and use them in an act of worship. Let's love the people around us, and let's pay close attention to what's going on. Let's be faithful, the way Ben was talking about a minute ago. Let's prayerfully consider how God's calling us to step into all of this. We can worship Jesus in so many ways this season. How we love one another, how we enter into relationship with one another, how we take time out of this season to get quiet, to be with God, to spend time in prayer and in reading his word. There's so many ways that we can do this. Greg, in the Worship Fully chapter of the book, they talk about Mary and Joseph and the shepherd, everybody we've kind of already talked about. But right. You were saying there's another character in the Christmas story who worships in another really, really cool way.
Just real quickly, it's Elizabeth. She's got this miracle of her own that she's experiencing because she's now pregnant. She thought she was past that age. She gets a knock on the door, and it's her young cousin Mary who's got her own miracle she's dealing with. Mary's trying to escape from probably the whispering and the gossip and all of that was happening around her. And Elizabeth is the one who welcomed her into her house.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth, in Romans 12, it says, practice hospitality. If you want something to do this season, practice hospitality. It is an undervalued behavior in the church. Elizabeth welcomed her to her home and said, you can just be with me. Just be with me. Well, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's you invite somebody to Christmas dinner. Maybe it's you invite somebody to go with you to this artisan market. Maybe it's, hey, come over for family movie night. We're going to watch White Christmas together. Would you come be with us? I'll bet you there's somebody in your life right now that you could go, will you come just hang with us? That is also an act of worship. Now, I'll give you just one, and then you're taking it. So don't get nervous that I'm standing up. I'm serious, because I know how you think. yeah. Here's something that you're not even invited to, and I'm not either. I'm not invited to this one. But there's a group of women every Christmas who spread a feast, who spread a table for women around the country that gather, that are rescued from the sex trade industry. And these women now gather together and as equals and celebrate that Jesus loves each of them, that he's not finished with each of them. And this is a way that we practice hospitality. This is the way that we do this. We can do this together. And it's not because we have to. It's not because somebody told us to. It's because some of us, and I'll be honest with you, some of you are still wrestling with this. Some of you are going, I really wanted something. It's because of what you said, Ben. I haven't gotten over what Jesus did for me. Mm-hmm. If I'll start there, I find my life becoming more generous. I find myself inviting people into that because I've never gotten over. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. Mm. If I can start there, I start to live with worship and joy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that's great. So we're going to invite the band back out now, and in just a minute, we'll kind of officially kick off the Christmas season here. You'll feel it here in a second. But for 12 years now, we've been kind of asking this question together. What if Advent was bigger than we dare imagine it was? What if when we walked out of these doors, we made a commitment together to doing this differently? And what if somehow our worship was received by God and we could put things into practice in this world that would begin to really make a difference, not just for us, but for the people around us and people we don't even know? See, if you go back to the Christmas story and that verse that Ben read a minute ago where the angel is announcing to the shepherds what's going on, he says this, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Jesus has been born. The Savior is here, and he brings with him healing and salvation and joy, and that's really good news. So let's worship him together. Let's live that story out together. Remember, you all told us that one of the things that you wanted more of this Christmas was time, relationships, and peace, and a whole bunch of other things. So let's live that way. We can worship fully. We can resist conforming to the craziness that might be going on around us by making Jesus the center of it all. We can find time to rest, to breathe, to relax, to laugh. Like Mary, we will sing to our redeeming God. Like Elizabeth, we will open our lives and homes to others. Like Joseph, we will obey without regard to the cost. Like the shepherds, we will leave our busyness to worship Christ. Like the Magi, we will confront anything that stands in the way of our worship, from worldly empires to our own fears. We will celebrate, sing, dance, pray, meditate, and love our way into a story that is of great joy for all people. Christmas changed the world the day Jesus was born in a cold, dark stable. Christmas will change the world again. Amen. Amen. Stand with us and let's worship.